Amen. Ephesians has been a wonderful book, and I'm sure you've enjoyed it as much as I have. So much blessed truth in this book. And chapter 3 has been no exception. And last week we looked at that first section there, talking about the dispensation of the grace of God in which we've been blessed to live in and get saved in. And tonight we read about the inner man here in verse 16. The Bible says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is, with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Tonight, we're going to talk about the inner man. The inner man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so blessed to be here and open Your Word together. Meet with us, we pray. Lord, I just ask that each of us would truly seek to hear from You tonight and leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Pray the Holy Ghost would be in control of our service. And Lord, just guide everything that's said and done. In this time now, we commit it to You in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So God wants the inner man to grow. God wants the inner man, as we see here, to be strengthened. He wants the inner man to be controlled and grounded. We'll walk through these one by one, these things that God wants for the inner man. But before we do that, we notice in verse 16 that God has this infinite reservoir available to make it all possible. Notice He says there that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. So He starts off, before He tells us that the inner man it needs constant conforming and changing and being more like Christ, He encourages us by saying that He has this unlimited reservoir of His glory, the riches of His glory available to make it all possible. And that's how God works, isn't it? God doesn't only save us, but then God goes with us as we travel this journey here on earth. He doesn't just send us on our way. He travels with us. He said, well, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He gives us the Word. He gives us the Holy Ghost. He gives us His presence. He gives us His wisdom. And so the Bible says, according to the riches of His glory. And notice in Ephesians 3:8, He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So these riches are unsearchable, which means they're beyond our comprehension. These riches that are available for God to use to strengthen this inner man, which is who we are. It's the man that has been given new life and quickened by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God promises to provide all our needs. God promises to take care of us according to what? His riches, which are infinite. He owns everything. So praise the Lord, God has available to us everything that we need for the inner man to be what it needs to be. And so let's figure out what it needs to be. First, we see tonight that God wants the inner man to be strengthened. To be strengthened. Now this inner man, that is who we are. That is our soul, that is our spirit. And they are two different things. Of course, our spirit's dead before we're saved. After we're saved, the Holy Ghost injects life into our spirit and we become a living spirit. And that inner man now has life, but also has a battle with the old man. Who's dead, crucified, taken care of, but still there. Dragging him around, unfortunately listening to him a lot of times when we shouldn't be. But God wants this inner man to be strengthened. Now, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 4:16, where the Bible mentions this inner man as well. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Where God says, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the outward man, talking about our shell, our body, which one day we'll get a new one, what's it doing? It says it's wearing out. We all understand that. It's slowly perishing. It's slowly dying, a natural death. And if the Lord tarries, that's the natural way of things. Everyone dies. But the inward man, the Bible says, it's not that way. The inward man isn't slowly dying. The inward man can be growing and growing and growing and be constantly renewed day by day, which is God's will. And so back to our passage, Ephesians 3:16. Number one tonight, the inner man is to be strengthened. To be strengthened. Now, where does this strength come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? Our strength doesn't come from within. Our strength comes from Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's the one that gives the strength. Ephesians 6:10, what's it say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can't be strong in our own strength. We don't have any. But we can be strong in the Lord. And God wants this inner man to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Remember when God told the disciples to wait for Pentecost, what did He say? Ye shall be endued with power from on high. And He says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me. So God wants the inner man to be strengthened. To be strengthened. And as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:16, one of the greatest ways to strengthen the inner man is to renew it day by day through the Word of God. Is to make sure that the Word of God strengthens the inner man. Notice Romans chapter 7, if you would turn over there. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. The Bible tells us here, Paul speaking, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So Paul's saying the inward man, the me inside, delights after the law of God. And of course, Romans 7 is a great chapter showing the reality of the struggles that we face with the flesh. Paul was human too. He might have been a great missionary and a great church planter, but he was human. And Romans 7, more than any other chapter in the Bible, reveals his humanity and his weakness and how he fought this battle between the flesh and the spirit constantly, like we all do. And he revealed that to us in the Word of God. But he says, after the inward man, I delight after the law of God. And the inner man can't be strengthened without the law of God. That's what God has given us. That's our food, isn't it? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. So, number one tonight, we see that God wants the inner man to be strengthened. To be strengthened. And of course, that can only happen through His Word. Strengthened to resist temptation. Strengthened to endure persecution. Strengthened to serve God. Strengthened to be the witness that we're supposed to be. That's what God wants for the inner man. Then secondly, we see in verse 17 of our passage, Ephesians 3, He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. God wants the inner man to be controlled by Jesus. Go, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Jesus, through the person of the Holy Ghost, dwells in our hearts, but God wants Him to not only dwell there, but to be in control there, as we all understand. Most of us know this verse by heart, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So notice Paul saying, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He's saying, yet not I. In other words, the old man isn't the one that's living anymore. But it's Christ who's living in me. Christ lives in me, and now I want Christ to control me. Which is what God wants for the inner man. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, in verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, where the Bible says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So God wants the inner man to not only be strengthened, but he wants the inner man to be controlled by Jesus. And that only happens, look at Romans chapter 6, as we yield. Notice Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." It's up to us to daily yield the inner man to God so that God can take control and work through us what He wants to do. But it's up to us to do the yielding. God doesn't force us to yield. So He wants the inner man strengthened. He wants the inner man controlled. And then go back to our passage, verse 17, "that ye being rooted and grounded in love." He wants the inner man to be rooted and grounded in love. I believe that's one of the number one problems with Christianity today is Christians are not rooted and grounded. They're just, as it says in Ephesians 4, blown about by every wind of doctrine. It amazes me how many Christians don't know the Word of God and don't know why they believe what they believe. They can't defend themselves. Jehovah's Witness comes to their door and they're scared to death. They're not scared to death because it's a Jehovah's Witness. They're scared to death because they know they don't have the answers. But they should have the answers. They should boldly go to the door and say, "Let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. Let me show you in the Bible how Jesus is Jehovah." Every Christian should be able to do that. But most Christians can't. Because the inner man is not rooted and grounded. Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. And by the way, don't let him into your house. You should obey 2 John verse 10, which says, "If any man come into your house and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Talk to him on the doorstep and be scriptural. And, you know, hopefully you have a porch. So it's, if it's raining, you know, it rains a lot here in Arizona. But that's what I do. I just stand out on the porch and let him have it. But the problem is when you do that, then they put a big X by your name and they don't come back for 2 years. You're on their list, their blacklist. Oh, that guy knows the Bible. He's out. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Notice he says he wants us to continue in the faith grounded and settled. God wants the inner man to be grounded and settled. Every believer needs to be grounded in the Word of God and settled about where they stand in Christ. Settled about their eternal security. Settled about their home in heaven. Settled about their salvation. Settled about their beliefs. That when somebody does come along, it doesn't shake them. Because they know what the Bible says and they can stand up for what they believe. That's what God wants the inner man to be. He wants it to be rooted and grounded in love. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You see this theme? Rooted, grounded, established. This is what God wants for the inner man. To be rooted and grounded. And then look at Ephesians 4, which is a verse I just quoted a minute ago. Ephesians 4, verse 14. This describes most Christians, and I mean born-again Christians. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God doesn't want us to be children. He wants us to grow up. That's what He talks about in Hebrews chapter 5, about milk versus meat, and how we need to grow up beyond the milk and mature to the meat. But Paul was rebuking the Hebrews because many of them were still babies. He rebuked the Corinthians for the same thing. It's not what he wants for the inner man. He wants the inner man to be rooted and grounded in love. So number one tonight, he wants the inner man to be strengthened. Number two, the inner man to be controlled. And number three, he wants the inner man to be rooted and grounded in love. Then we see in verse 18 of our passage, Ephesians 3, "may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ." That's a beautiful verse. God wants the inner man to be able to comprehend the love of God. That's a high calling. Look at the words that God uses. The breadth. In other words, God's love is wide enough to include every human being. Then he says the length. It's long enough to last from everlasting to everlasting. Then he says the depth. It's deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner in the universe. And then, of course, the height. It's high enough to take us to heaven and glory someday. The breadth and length and depth and height. Now, most of us know the passage. Let's go to Romans 8 that talks about the love of Christ. And I know it's a big passage, but really every Christian should memorize this passage. Verses 35 through 39. It's long, but once you memorize it, it'll bless your soul. And it'll just change you. 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God wants the inner man to be able to comprehend that. Well, how's that going to happen? We need to be in the Word. Because that's the only place we'll learn about the love of God. Is in His Word. He says there in our passage, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I guess that means that we just have to keep learning more and more about it. And we're just not going to finish learning until we get to heaven. If it passes knowledge, it means the reservoir of that knowledge is pretty much infinite, which means we can just keep learning more and more about the love of our Savior and our God. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us, look at 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son of the world that we might live through Him. The Bible says God manifested His love at Calvary. Look at the next verse, two verses down, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So one of the reasons why God wants us to comprehend the love of God is so we can better comprehend the kind of love we're supposed to be showing to one another. Because then the Bible tells us that that's the kind of love we're supposed to show, as Christ loved us. So God wants the inner man to be strengthened. He wants the inner man to be controlled. He wants him to be rooted and grounded in love. He wants the inner man to be able to comprehend God's love and the love of Christ. That's something we can keep doing, and no matter how long we've been saved, we can keep learning and learning and learning about the love of God toward us. And then lastly, number 5, verse 19, he says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants the inner man to be filled. To be filled. You know, when something is filled, it only contains what it's filled with. I know that sounds amazingly profound. But it can't be filled with two separate things, or it's not filled with the one thing. So that means the only way that we can be filled with all the fullness of God is if we're emptied of self. Our selfish desires, our selfish goals, that's a tough calling. But that's what God wants for the inner man. He wants him to be filled with all the fullness of God. Go back to Acts chapter 4, if you would, in verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, Acts 4:31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Amen. They spake the Word of God with boldness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Again, you can't be filled with something unless you're emptied of everything else. So, it sounds like we all aren't there yet, that we have work that God has to do in our lives on this inner man. No matter how long we've been saved, the inner man can be strengthened more. The inner man can be controlled more by Jesus. The inner man can be rooted and grounded more in God's love and in God's truths. The inner man can better comprehend our love, the love of our God and of our Savior. And the inner man, of course, can be filled, which unfortunately that's not a permanent thing. It'd be nice if it was. It'd be nice if we could just go to an altar and say, "From this day forward, I'm filled." But the next day, you got to get filled again. Or the flesh will say, "Well, if you're not going to get filled with God, I'll take care of that problem. I'll just fill you up with my ideas and my desires." And that's just the battle that we face until we go to glory. But the inner man, God's desire for every one of us, as we know from Romans chapter 8, verse 29, is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the way He does that is by consistently, step by step, little by little, working on the inner man. And we need to allow Him to do it. God has the power to do it, the riches of His glory. It's all there. It comes down to us being willing to let Him do it, to change this inner man and make it more like our Savior. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. What a blessing to hear from You in Ephesians tonight. And I pray that each of us would take stock of where our inner man stands. And Lord, if we know there are areas where we fall short, may we bring them to You. Get in the Word. Get on our knees. Yield to You, surrender to You, get in, and just allow You, Lord, to strengthen and control and ground this inner man, to help us comprehend Your amazing love, and Lord, to fill us with the Holy Ghost, that we might go out and serve You with all that we are. So Lord, may we make sure that our inner man is where it needs to be and is growing as it should be, and if not, may we get that sorted. Use us this week to be a blessing to someone, to tell the gospel to someone. And we love You. We thank You for Your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.